This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman kathiran kathira. Amma ba'du. Very good question. Very good question. Mashallah. Since we are talking about interest and banking and so on and so forth, is it permissible to work in a commercial banking financial institution? Alcohol and intoxicants are halal or haram? Haram. So when you say alcohol is haram in Islam, according to the Sharia, what does it mean? You cannot drink. Okay. So I am saying to you, I am not drinking. But I have a factory which produces Scotch whiskey. Can I have this factory? Am I allowed to produce Scotch whiskey? No. I say, I'm not drinking it. I'm only producing it. And I'm selling it only to non-Muslims. Is that permissible? No. Why not?
Because it's haram.
Because in Islam, haram, anything which is made haram, everything connected with it automatically becomes haram. So if alcohol is haram, then buying alcohol, selling alcohol, manufacturing alcohol, transporting alcohol in my 16-wheeler truck, storing that alcohol in my warehouse, everything to do with that alcohol or intoxicant automatically becomes haram when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allah has made this haram, period. Biggest dalil of this from the seerah and the sunnah, when this ayat was revealed, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, الخمر والميسر والأنساب والأزلام رجس من عمل الشيطان فاجتنبوه لعلكم تفلحون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, oh, you believe, and again, as I told you, when anything begins with Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, it is hukam. Oh, you believe, الخمر, خمر والميسر والأنساب والأزلام رجس من عمل الشيطان. Alcohol, drinking, and intoxicants, and maisir, which is gambling, which includes lotteries, which includes all kinds of, you know, things like this, betting on that, betting on horses, betting on cricket, betting on football, betting on soccer, betting on hound racing, you name it. Any form of gambling. And then fortune seeking, tarot cards, vastu, feng shui, good luck, bad luck, palmistry, numerology, and casting arrows and divine, all of the stuff which they used to, as Allah said, these are rijusum min amali shaitani fajtanibu. Allah said, these are the dirtiest, filthiest, worst things from the amal of shaitan. Now, how evil is that? First of all, the amal of shaitan itself is bad. I mean, it is the amal of shaitan. What is worse than amal? Allah said, rijusum min amali shaitan. This is the worst of the deeds of shaitan. And then Allah said, fajtanibu, stay away, avoid, stay away. Now there are people where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on the jahilun. People say, no, but the word haram is not used. I'm kya musko bolenge bhai, asal ke dushman. Allah kehta uske kareeb bhi mat jao. जब तो क्या हालात है अल्लाह ने हराम नहीं कहा. हराम क्या है? हराम से बढ़ के कहा है फज तनी वो स्टे फार अवे फ्रॉम देम. नाउ व्हेन दिस आयत वाज रिवील्ड इन मदीना रसूलुल्लाह सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम सेंट ए मुनादी. ही सेंट ए अनाउंसर एंड दिस मुनादी वेंट अराउंड द स्ट्रीट्स ऑफ मदीना कॉलिंग आउट दिस आयत, रिसाइटिंग दिस आयत. Now think about this. Madinah al-Munawwara was an oasis. It had water. And its two main crops were dates and grapes. Now any society which grows fruit with a high sugar content will have a distillery, will have a alcohol producing. Because that's a normal route. Take all of France, take Cape Town, take anywhere which produces grapes and dates, they will have The industry goes in this way. It is the fresh fruit which is eaten. It is the dried fruit which is eaten, and then the fruit is processed in the form of alcohol. So winemaking is and was an industry in Madina. They didn't make just wine. They didn't make the wine for, you know, on my birthday I will have a party. No. This was an industry. They manufactured wine. It was a means of income for them. It was an industry. It was business. They also drank the wine. Obviously, they're making it, they're manufacturing it, so they drank it. But they didn't make it only to drink. They made it to sell it. They used to sell wine all over Arabia. So now imagine, they have these big vats of wine and everything else. Now, when this ayat was announced, first thing the Sahaba did, the narrator of the hadith, he says, I was pouring wine. This was Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, the man who served Mr. Salam for 10 years. From the time he was 10 years old to the time he was 20, he was a servant of Mr. Salam. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him a long life. And after Rasulullah s.a.w. passed away, he used to see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam every day in his dream. Every day. Every day. He said, I was pouring wine for my uncles, meaning, you know, in our cultures we refer to people with rishta. We don't say, we don't call somebody by name. So uncles mean not necessarily his uncle, meaning other sahaba. He said, I was pouring drink to them. We heard the munadi. He said, I was pouring like this. I moved my hand and I poured the drink on the ground. He said, those who had the drink in their hand, in the glass, they threw it. Somebody had it in his mouth, he spat it out. He didn't swallow it and say, okay, this is the last one. No. He spat it out. Huh? And then, they emptied the vats of alcohol, of liquor, of wine that they had, they emptied it in the drains. How many times have you heard the hadith which says that after this, the drains of Medina ran with wine like water? You heard this? Ask them, how does it happen? Does it happen with one bottle of wine? If the drains of Medina and the roads of Medina were, wine was running like a river, what does it tell you about the volume of wine that they had? How did they have so much of wine? Because it was an industry. It was their livelihood. They threw it. They emptied everything. Just one word of Allah. And then they smashed the containers. They broke those big vats. Somebody came to Mr. Salam and said, Ya Rasulullah, they are breaking the containers. The Mr. Salam called them. He said, why are you breaking the containers? You can wash them and use them for something else. It's a storage container. They said, Ya Rasulullah, we do not even want to be reminded of the time when we used to disobey Allah. Now think about this. When they were drinking wine or manufacturing wine, were they disobeying Allah? No, because the ayat had not come. So before the ayat, where were they disobeying? They were not disobeying. Disobedience or obedience comes only after the hukum. No, before the hukum comes. Supposing I tell you guys, you know, you are disobeying Allah, you have not prayed Salatul Zuhr, what will you say? It is not time for Salatul Zuhr. How can I be disobeying Allah? Whether I obey Allah or I disobey Allah, the question will arise only when Salatul Zuhr time comes in. When the Adhan is called, then I don't go to pray. Yes, I am disobeying Allah. May Allah protect us. The ayat was not revealed. How could they? But this was the level of taqwa of the Sahaba. That they said, even though we may not have been disobeyed, the fact that now Allah has prohibited, I don't want to look at the vat wine in my house and say, I used to do this. No. Please reflect on this. Today, when we tell our brothers and sisters, get out of haram business, do not sell haram, do not buy haram, they say, Shaykh, but you know, show us an alternative. We agree with you, we will get out, but show us an alternative. Ask yourself this question. When this ayat was revealed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with one line destroyed the entire economy of Madina. No? I mean, if you look at it like that, one line. When Allah said, Fajtanibu, that was the end of the economy of Madina. Did the Sahaba protest? Did the Sahaba go to Mr. Salam, Ya Rasulullah, we agree with you, we will, but give us some time. Let us get rid of this stock. We won't produce anything new. This was already, believe me, if I want to create arguments, Allah has given me intelligence. Allah gave intelligence more than me to the people then. They could have said, this ayat applies to the date of the ayah. Allah did not say, this has been prohibited to you with retrospective effect from the date of manufacture. Allah did not say that. Allah says, it is prohibited from today. So if it is prohibited from today, then what was produced yesterday is not prohibited. It's already there, no? So I will not manufacture anything more. But what I have already, let me sell it. The Sahaba did not even ask this question. They stopped it and they trashed their entire stock. They didn't say, show me an alternative. Today we asked for. Then we say our dua is not accepted. How will the dua be accepted? When the Sahaba obeyed Allah like this, when they raised their hands, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down malaika. Allah sent malaika. In the battle of Yarmouk, hadith narrated by Abdullah bin Umar, radiallahu anhu, the Muslim army under the command of Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiallahu anhu and Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. It was originally under the command of Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, but Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab became a Khalifa at that time, and the first thing he did was he sent a letter to Khalid bin Walid and said, hand over command to Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah, Amilul Ummah, that was his title, and you are relieved of command and you are an ordinary soldier. So he's taking the commander-in-chief of the army and making him an ordinary soldier for no fault of his. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was against the appointment of Khalid bin Walid for his own reasons. He had some difference of opinion. Later on, it was his contention that people were relying more on Khalid bin Walid than on Allah. This was Sayyidina Umar's opinion. This is not Quran or Hadith. Alhamdulillah, we don't argue the opinion, but this was his opinion. So he told Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu, he said, relieve Khalid from command. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu said, the one who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, gave the sword and said, this is Saifullah. He called him Saifullah and he gave the command, Abu Bakr will not remove him. So he refused. But 2 years later, when Sayyidina Umar came to power, the first thing he did was he sent a letter to. Now, by then, the army is facing the army of the Byzantines, the Eastern Roman Empire, Heraclius' army, in the north of Iraq, a place called Yarmouk. And they say that the numbers of soldiers of the Byzantine army was 200,000. 100,000 Eastern Roman soldiers and 100,000 Christian Arabs from that area of Syria and Iraq. So 200,000. And the battle and the Muslim army was 20,000. So the other army was 10 times the size. Now, there have been some disputes with regard to the numbers, but everyone agrees that the other army was at least 3 times the size. 3 times the size. Right? Now, in that situation, they were standing there and looking at the army. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu says, we raised our hands. Which are the hands? The hands that smashed the wax of alcohol when Allah commanded. Without question. And then they face difficulties, obviously. You lose your entire economy. You lose all your wealth. You think it's easy? They face difficulties. They never complain. And then those hands were raised. And they called. And they said, Ya Rabba Muhammad. Hey? They said, Ya Rabba Muhammad, Unsur Ummata Muhammad. They said, Oh Rabba Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, help the Ummah of Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Rabba Muhammad, Unsur Ummata Muhammad. Ya Rabba Muhammad, Unsur Ummata Muhammad. And Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu says, We saw the sky open. And we saw the malaika descend. We saw the sun shining on the tips of the lances of the cavalry riders. The malaika on their horses. He says, I saw Jibreel alayhi salam on a grey mount on a grey war horse. And he says, I saw his turban. And he says he was descending with such speed. Then the tail of the turban was flat, was horizontal with the force of the breeze. Same Allah. Same Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Same ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But this ummah has changed. This ummah has changed. We have changed. Allah did not change. The Rasul ﷺ did not change. The malaika are still there. The armies are still there. But they don't come when we call. Because our hands are first raised in the disobedience of Allah. Our hands are raised in breaking the laws of Allah. Our hands are raised in oppressing others. Our hands are raised in creating corruption in the earth. And then we raise our hands and say, Ya Rabbi, who is this Rabb? This Rabb is the one that you accepted a declaration of war from. This Rabb is your enemy because you dealt with interest. You make dua to your enemy and you ask your enemy to help you and you think your enemy is helping you. You are in sin. Which enemy helps the enemy? So if you are working in a commercial lending organization, if you are working in a bank, same rule applies. I cannot drink alcohol, therefore I cannot manufacture alcohol, I cannot transport alcohol, I cannot do anything with alcohol. Same way, I cannot borrow on interest, I cannot lend on interest. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked this same exact question. They said, Ya Rasulullah, who does this apply to? He says, the one who lends the money, the one who borrows the money, the two people who are witness to that transaction, they neither lend the money nor borrowed the money. They are only the witnesses. And the one who writes the deal, who writes that contract, all of them, kulluhum sawa, he said, they are all equal. Lanatullah alayhim ajma'in. The lanat of Allah is on all five of them. So the person who is writing the transaction, who is that person? The person working for a commercial banking organization, because that's what he is doing. He is neither borrowing money nor lending money, but he is witnessing transactions in one way or the other. Maybe you do it on a computer, maybe you do it by writing some code. Whatever the method does not make it halal. Working in a commercial banking organization is haram. Renting your house or commercial building to a bank or any commercial banking organization is also haram. Just like you cannot rent your house or your building or your shop to a bar. Right? Same way. It is the same way. As a matter of fact, it is even worse, because as I told you, Allah has not declared war on the barman, but He declared war on the banker. Today we live in a world where we have completely turned values upside down. Teachers, we have no respect for. Bankers are big people. With teachers, Rasulullah said, Bu'istu mu'alliman. Allah sent me as a teacher. So my reference, that job of a teacher is a very exalted job. He said, Khairun minkum an ta'allama al-Qur'ana wa 'allamahu. He said, the best of you is the one who teaches the Qur'an and who learns the Qur'an. So the role of the teacher is a very exalted role. But the role of a banker? But who is paid more? That's a joke, right? any of the Wall Street financial bankers, any teacher will not, that person is paid more in 1 month than that teacher will make in 10 generations. Forget about his own lifetime. And that is the reason why also the opposition to this law came so strongly. Until today, Muslims are running around like chickens with their heads cut off in all kinds of confusion, because our hearts are connected with the dollar. Our hearts are connected with money, not Allah. We think that we can succeed and fail based on money. We think we can be a growth and happens because of lack of money or having money, and the opposite of growth, have a recession happens because we don't say growth and goodness and evil is because of the connection with Allah, whether it is strong or whether it is weak. We have lost this. So from being Ibadullah, we have become Ibadul Fulus. Abdul Fulus, not Abdullah. Huh? Abdul Dinar, Abdul Dollar. We are Ibadullah. Abdullah, the greatest of honor. Greatest of honor. Subhanallahi asra bi abdihi laylan min al masjid al haram ila al masjid al aqsa. The first ayat of Surah Bani Israel, Surah Al Isra, Allah said, abdihi. Glory to him who took his slave. Abdihi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have said this in this ayah. Subhanallazi asra bi rasulihi. Which was true. He was the Rasul alayhi salam. Allah did not say that. Abdihi. For Allah to call somebody abdi is the highest form of praise. Highest honor. Huh? This is what Allah did. But we have to respect that. I mentioned this to you, that Makkan bankers would not be surprised in our banks, because the nature of the transactions has been the same. There is no change in the nature of the transactions. All the financial instruments we use are the same financial instruments. And as I mentioned to you yesterday, there's nothing. It wasn't even new in the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because these were financial instruments originally used by the Romans from the times of Julius Caesar and Augustus Caesar, which is around 100 BC. So it was nothing new. It was almost 1,000 years old even then. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala banned them. And think about this. Allah did not only ban them then. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala banned this in the Torah for the Bani Israel. They ignored it. Allah banned it again in the Injil. Isa alayhi salam, even in the Bible, Isa alayhi salam's fight in the Masjid al-Aqsa was against whom? The money lenders, the bankers. Huh? Isa alayhi salam physically threw them out of the Masjid. And he says, you are doing this evil sitting in the Masjid. His fight was the bankers. So when interest is banned in Islam, it is nothing new. Interest was banned long before that. With Musa alayhi salam, 4,000 years before. When age is near. Nothing new. But they put today, even Muslims, put the same twist on it like they did. They said, no. The ban is against high interest rates. In this country, the interest rate is so low, it's only 2%. In my country, it is 2% per month, 3% per month. Here, it is 2% per year. So this is not bad, this is halal. So if I tell you that alcohol is banned, but you know, once in a while having a drink is okay. Zina is banned, but once in a while doing zina is okay. Pork is banned, but I'm not eating the whole pig. I'm eating one piece of bacon. That is okay. One hamburger, one hot dog is okay. Is it correct? Will you accept this? Then how is it okay? When you say, no, you see interest, little bit is okay, more. The principle in Islam is that if something has been made haram, it is haram irrespective of quantity, and everything around it and surrounding it is also haram. This is a fundamental principle, basic fundamental principle of Islam. If it is haram, it is haram. Today we have, may Allah have mercy on our scholars for dollars. We have people giving fatwa to say that having 5% haram is okay. Yesterday somebody sent me a fatwa and said, what do you think, Sheikh? They are saying that investing in companies where they have 5% of the business is from haram sources, or they have borrowed money on interest and so on, as long as it is 5% of their annual turnover. So I told him, I said, I'm going to give you a dirty example because it sticks in the mind. I tell you, if I give you a glass of orange juice and I tell you, I've not even done it, I'm just telling you. I said, 5% of this is urine. Will you drink it? I haven't even done it. It's like a prank. I said, 5% of this is urine. Will you drink it? I tell you, there is one drop of urine. Forget 5%. There is one drop of urine. You can't even see it unless you take it to a lab and get it analyzed. You won't even know it. You won't feel it. You won't taste it. Doesn't smell. Will you still drink it or not? If I'm telling you there's one drop of urine, will you say, no problem, I love orange juice so much? Will you do that? So some mufti tells you 5% of haram is okay. You tell the mufti this example. And if the mufti tells you Yaver Beg is jahil, no problem. If you follow Yaver Beg, you will have 100% halal income before Allah. You follow that mufti, you will have at least 5% of haram. Go face Allah. I don't care. I'm not lending money to anybody. If you have a halal income, it doesn't benefit me. If you have haram, it doesn't harm me. But I will not tell you something which Allah has made haram, that it is halal. I don't care who likes it. I don't care who doesn't like it. What is the principle in Islam? If you have a doubt, err on the side of what? Caution or? Caution. If you have a doubt, don't touch it. If I am supposed to be driving my car over a bridge, imagine there's this old bridge, this big ravine, 200 feet down, no chance of survival. But there is a bridge. What is the first thing you will do? Drive the car to Tawakkal. Huh? No way. You will check that bridge. You will go and even on the bridge, you won't sort of jump up and down because you know, if it breaks, what happens? But if it's going to break with your weight, what will happen to the car? You will want all kinds of guarantees and sure, is this bridge going to hold before I take my car on this thing? And I tell you, don't listen. There is only 5% chance that this bridge will break. 95% the bridge won't break. 99% the bridge won't break. 100% I guarantee you the bridge won't break. Will you drive the car over the bridge, tell me? Why won't you drive the car? Because you've got sense. You will tell me, Sheikh, you are guaranteeing me the bridge won't break. You are standing on the side, right? You come with me in the car, then we'll see. Come with me in the car, then we'll see whether how good your guarantee is. But you want to stand on the side and say, bridge won't break, and you want me to go? If the bridge breaks, I die, not you. Please let us not play games with Allah. This life is short. This life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken responsibility of our sustenance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allahu نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُهُمْ. He said, we feed them. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ مَا أُرِيدُ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ رِزْقٍ وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ يُطْعِمُونَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ. In Surah Al-Zariyat. Allah says, Allah is responsible. Allah feeds them. Allah does not ask them to feed him or to feed his creatures. Then why are you worried? JazakAllah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.